Are not our persons and property, in fact, at its disposal? Is not the law omnipotent? In creating the educational monopoly, it has undertaken to answer the expectations of fathers of families who have been deprived of liberty. And if these expectations are disappointed, whose fault is it? In regulating industry, it has undertaken to make it prosper. Otherwise, it would have been absurd to deprive it of its liberty. And if it suffers, whose fault is it? In pretending to adjust the balance of commerce by the game of tariffs, it undertakes to make commerce prosper. And if, so far from prospering, it is destroyed, whose fault is it? In granting its protection to maritime armaments in exchange for their liberty, it has undertaken to render them self-sufficient. If they become burdensome, whose fault is it? Thus, there is not a grievance in the nation for which the government does not voluntarily make itself responsible. Is it any wonder that every failure threatens to cause a revolution? And what of the remedy proposed? To extend indefinitely the dominion of the law? That is the responsibility of government. But if the government undertakes to raise and to regulate wages and is not able to do it, if it undertakes to assist all those who are in want and is not able to do it, if it undertakes to provide work for every laborer and is not able to do it, if it undertakes to offer to all who wish to borrow easy credit and is not able to do it, if, in words that we regret should have escaped the pen of Mr. de Lamartine, the state considers that its mission is to enlighten, to develop, to enlarge, to strengthen, to spiritualize, and to sanctify the soul of the people, if it fails in this, is it not obvious that after every disappointment, which, alas, is more than probable, there will be a no less inevitable revolution? I shall now resume the subject by remarking that immediately after the economical part of the question, political economy precedes politics. The former has to discover whether human interests are harmonious or antagonistic, a fact which must be settled before the latter can determine the prerogatives of government. Well, that immediately after the economical part of the question and before the political part, a leading question presents itself. It is the following. What is law? What ought it to be? What is its domain? What are its limits? Where, in fact, does the prerogative of the legislator stop? I have no hesitation in answering. Law is common force organized to prevent injustice. In short, law is justice. It is not true that the legislator has absolute power over our persons and property, since they pre-exist, and his work is only to secure them from injury. It is not true that the mission of the law is to regulate our consciences, our ideas, our will, our education, our sentiments, our works, our exchanges, our gifts, our enjoyments. Its mission is to prevent the rights of one from interfering with those of another in any one of these things. Law, because it has force for its necessary sanction, can only have the domain of force, which is justice. And as every individual has a right to have recourse to force only in cases of lawful defense, so collective force, which is only the union of individual forces, cannot be rationally used for any other end. The law, then, is solely the organization of individual rights that existed before law. Law is justice. So far from being able to oppress the people or to plunder their property, even for a philanthropic end, its mission is to protect the people and to secure to them the possession of their property. It must not be said either that it may be